Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 14th of February 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul looked at God's love letter and the reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and good morning and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church on Sunday, the 14th of February. It's really good to be with you, to worship with you. Praise the Lord that we can use technology nowadays to stay in touch with each other and worship him together. You should have all received the worship sheet for today, the service sheet, which contains the words of some of the songs we'll be using. But don't worry if you haven't, because the words will actually appear on the screen in any case. But if you'd like to receive that on a regular basis from us, please let us know. And you should have also received the notices. The notices for the week are as per those that have already been sent, with a couple of kind of emphasis, really. If you are joining us for the first time today, or indeed if you've come along and only ever known us in this time of lockdown and when things have been so unusual, we are doing this coming, we have been doing rather, prayers throughout the whole of this time. Every day at 10 o'clock we meet for prayer on our Facebook page. But also each Monday we have a Zoom prayer meeting, and this week that Zoom prayer meeting is at 7 o'clock. You'll find details on the notice sheet. If you haven't got the details or you'd like to know more, just please let myself or Richard or the office know. And then to say that this tomorrow we begin a brand new thing for us as a church. The book is here. It's a 365-day Bible reading plan. And we will read the Bible in a year together. Everybody should have received that, those of you that have asked for it. But if you haven't, and or if you've just joined us today and you'd like to join us in reading the Bible in a year, can you let the office, the church office, know, and we'll get a copy of that to you, either electronically, or we will print off for you a handy Bible-sized copy. It's really good to worship the Lord on a day, St. Valentine's Day, when culturally we remember love. Good to worship with you and remember that Scripture is God's love letter to us. Throughout the whole of Scripture, we see and hear in the words God's love. And Scripture's a book that contains some truth. We're going to sing of those truths in a minute, which are contained both at the beginning and at the end of Scripture. The end of Scripture says this: the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and a name, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They will need not light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and he will reign forever and ever. We have a promise this morning, friends, that we will one day be before the throne of God. And then right at the other end of Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're going to come together and worship the Lord together with those two scriptures in our minds. We're going to join Steve and sing before the throne of God above. And then we're going to join Roy and Jenny and proclaim that over all the earth, our God reigns. Friends, let's worship him together this morning.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father, we come this morning to worship and adore you. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for your steadfast love, your unchanging love for us. That has seen you stand with us through everything that this world throws against us. Father, we want to praise you and adore you. And Father, we thank you for this church community, Lord, that we seek week by week and day by day to know your will. We pray, Lord, that it never would change. Father, we want to apologize for all the things in the world that we do that go against you. But Lord, we want to thank you again for that salvation we find in your Son. That you forgive us time and time again. And Father, we want to lift up to you those in our community who are ill and hurting and lonely. Lord, be with them. Be a comfort to them. And we continue to pray for the government, not only our government, Lord, but the governments around the world as they continue to battle with this pandemic. Father, we pray that your influence would be felt, that you would guide them to the best course that can be made. And Father, we pray for this church as we begin our Bible in a year. Might through reading your word, might we grow closer to you. Might we point ourselves towards you. And Father, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you might be known in this place, Lord. You might be known in Minehead and around the country and the world. Father, pour out your Spirit on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Millie is going to come and speak to us.
Good morning, good morning. So I am going to speak mainly to our younger church family for a few minutes, but of course to all of you as well. And then we're going to log on to Zoom again for fire starters. If you don't know what I'm talking about and would like to know what I'm talking about, that's our Sunday school group that runs on a Sunday morning. If you'd like more information about that, please contact myself or Mark. And we'd be happy to pass on that information to you. But this morning, in church and in Sunday school, we're going to be thinking about 2 Timothy 3 and God's love for us and his love letter to us. Now, I'm wondering if any of you have possibly been to the beach. Few hands going up in here. There's not many of us here, but there's a few hands going up. And I'm sure a lot of you have been as well. I've seen photos of some of you at the beach in other things that you've been doing. And I know we can't go at the moment, but I'm wondering if any of you, when you've been to the beach, have looked for seashells at all. Or have you ever come across a starfish or a crab? Or when you're at the seaside, do you just go so you can get hold of a stick of rock and build sandcastles? Lots of hands going up to that one in here. But beneath what we find on the surface of the sea and the beach and the sand, we know that there are tiny creatures deep below the waters and deep below the waves. There are clues that there is so much more to discover. But if when we're at the beach, all we ever do is use our floats or buoyancy aids to just float about and not go deep, we will never see the wonders of what the sea and the ocean has to offer us. And I'm not talking about Minehead Beach here. Like, that's, I probably wouldn't want to go, like, diving deep within that. But there's nicer beaches. But the Bible is like the ocean. It's, and I've got mine here. It's God-breathed. The meaning it is the very word of God. Deep within it, there are passages and passages of God's love for us as individuals, as a family, and as a church family. It's the living word of God. It's a book that can completely transform our lives for the better. But if all we do is stay on the top of the surface of it, and we don't go deep within what the scripture is teaching, we will never know God or his plan for our lives as fully as we could. God wants us to go deep within. God wants us to read the scripture and apply the scripture and verses to our lives. He wants us to pray for understanding as we go deeper into the Bible. He wants us to go snorkeling with our snorkel and our goggles on, so that we can see fully what the Bible is teaching to us. And the more we go deep, the clearer it becomes of how immense God's love is for us. And if we go deep, we're not going alone, because God is our anchor. He is our stronghold and our firm foundation. God wants us to know him personally as a friend. God wants to be our Valentine's. God wants us to love him more than anything else in this world. He wants us to get rid of our floats and grab the snorkel with both hands. The Bible has the answers to life. God is waiting for us to dive in and discover them. Let's pray together before we join in Sunday school, and these guys in church and online continue to learn more about God's amazing love for us. Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you that it's your love letter to us. We thank you that you love us more than anything in this world. We thank you that you are our God and we love you. Be with us, whether we're staying online to hear from Paul and God's word in church, and be with us as we join on Zoom for Sunday school. In your precious name, amen. The guys in here are going to sing "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less, Cornerstone."
Our reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Let's pray for Paul now as he comes to speak to us. Father, we want to lift up our brother Paul to you as he comes to speak your words. Father, we thank you for the words as contained in this letter. We pray, Lord, that you would speak through Paul now. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you for reading God's word, God's love letter. If you haven't already done so and you want to do so, I'm going to encourage you to go and find a Bible. At home, if you're able to do that, it would be brilliant. And to remind you and everybody else that's listening, while you find that Bible, that tomorrow we're going to begin this 365-day Bible reading plan together. A plan that, yes, says within a year we want to have read God's love letter. And so today we're going to be looking at why we're doing that. I hope we will today encourage one another, not just to start tomorrow, but to endure and to make sure we read the whole Bible. In other words, friends, to finish that which we start. And we're also going to give some practical tips as how we might be able to do this. That's hopefully set today in a bit of context and given some folk, I pray, time to get a Bible. There'll be Bible references as we go through this morning, only a few, but if you want to follow, please feel free. Now, back when I was young, and yes, it is true, I was once young, I wasn't, I promise you, born this old, I met this rather good-looking young lady. It was a Sunday evening, and it was in church. She tapped me on the shoulder, and she offered me a polo mint. With mortification, I turned to her and said, "We do not eat mints in church." Well, anyway, that was okay, really. Because honestly, she liked my friend, or rather preferred his motorcycle, better than me. But I grew on her. Oh, how things have changed. We started going out and getting to know each other, and Lorraine and I have been getting to know each other ever since. In fact, in many ways, she said to me the other day, "I'm just as much of a mystery now as I was when we first met." But I remember back then, it was in the mid-80s, and this is going to shock some of you, it was before the days of email and before the days of mobile phones. I think some mobile phones were just coming onto the market then, you know, the whole big brick thing, but we didn't have them. There was no text messaging, no WhatsApp, no Zoom. Neither of us either had phones in our homes. Neither home where we came from had a landline. And because of the complications of home and circumstances that surrounded that, it was impossible just to knock on each other's front door and spend some time just chatting. If we wanted to see each other, we kind of had to make a time and a place and meet there. Added to which, there was the fact that I was going to college 2 evenings a week and was at church 3 other evenings a week, and Lorraine was working shifts as a nurse, that often meant we'd go 10 days or so without speaking to each other. It seems impossible to say now, but it was the reality of our courting days. And so we were reduced to something. We were reduced to posting notes to each other. And just to prove that, I have here a box full of these notes that we posted to each other. Some are daft, some say silly things to Paul. I'm afraid this is a sensible Easter egg, Lorraine. Others are a bit more, well, they're a bit more lovey. In fact, here's one that I wrote, and you can't see from there, but it's half a page of kisses, and it says, "You can claim these when I see you." They're letters full of all sorts of things. They were written out of sheer love. Maybe in the 80s you'd have had a whiff of Brute on them. Because yes, it's true, I wore Brute in the 80s. Or if it was Lorraine's letter to me, maybe it would be lovingly scented with whatever scent it was the vogue back in the 80s. There were letters that sometimes contained instructions. "I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. Sometimes asked for or gave help. "I've heard you're unwell and we'll pray for you." And incidentally, all these examples I'm quoting you are actual examples out of those letters. They sometimes contained instructions. "You need to get on with your studies this evening, Paul." Sometimes they were heeded. In that case, they're ignored. Sometimes there were commands. "If you're still unwell tomorrow, you're not to come." Sometimes they were written in code. "EMS, Lorraine might write. "A term of endearment, I hear you say." Well, maybe. It actually stands for every mother's son. And I'll let Lorraine explain more about that to you when you see her next. Those are only some of the letters. And the other ones we've got at home are contained in a tin, a heart-shaped tin. Because they are letters that ultimately are shared from one heart to another. They're love letters, written deep from within to someone who touched that deep within place with their own life, their own love, their very being. I love to get those letters and notes from Lorraine, even the small one about the Easter egg, actually. Of course, even the more so with that one because it came attached to an Easter egg. But I love to get them. And although it's true we fell in love spending time together, it's also true to say that through those letters and notes, we got to know each other a bit better and even fall more in love with each other. I'd read them again and again. Why? Because, friends, I was vitally interested in falling in love with this lovely lady called Lorraine. So listen, friends. This Bible is God's love letter to us. Here, in the words of Scripture, we see God's heart more clearly than anywhere else. We see the depth of his love and his care and his mercy. So I want to encourage you, over the coming year, to read Scripture and fall in love with God, either for the first time or more deeply in love with him by spending time with God's incredible love letter, the Bible. We have some pretty good examples of why regular Bible reading is important. Martin Luther once said this: "For many years now, I have read through the Bible twice every year. If you picture the Bible to be a mighty tree and every word a little branch, I have shaken every one of those branches because I wanted to know what it was and what it meant." The last thing Luther wrote was on a slip of paper. It was written the day before he died. What was on it? It was words of praise for the Bible and an appeal to all to read it with a humble spirit. Why did he love the Bible so much? Well, there are a few reasons. When he had questions or issues that troubled him, he came to this word, this scripture, this Bible, expecting to find an answer. And he delighted in the joy of discovery. He also wrote this: "For 28 years since I became a doctor, I have now constantly read and preached the Bible, and yet I have not exhausted it, but find something new in it every day." But Luther loved the Bible for one overriding reason: because it was in the words of Scripture that he'd found Jesus Christ. Why did God give us this love letter? Well, the answer's found in the very first few words of what is probably the most famous verse in the whole of this scripture. John 3:16. The first few words are, "For God so loved the world." All of the love God has for you and I poured out onto the pages of this amazing book was also poured into his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. And if this morning you're listening and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then this book speaks of how much God loves you, just you, and how much he was prepared to sacrifice to have a relationship with you. I want to encourage you to read it. It's exactly what I did. I read scripture and in it I found my Saviour. Let me encourage you to do that. Because this book speaks of how he was prepared to pay a price beyond reckoning, to deal with the issues and the sin in your life. That's what I found when I read it myself for the first time. And even if you think all that I've said thus far is rubbish and scientifically unprovable and not worth listening to, even so, God still loves you that much, full stop. Incidentally, if you think you're someone who would say everything must be scientifically proven to be true and say you will not believe that God loves before and unless there is proof, let me remind you that he did give proof to the world. He sent Jesus. And if you're someone that says, "Well, actually, none of us can prove love, and therefore you can't say that God loves me," I invite you to do something to prove to yourself you can prove love. I invite you, when we finish this time, simply go and find someone who says they love you and tell them that you won't believe it until they prove it, because their actions are not enough, and see what happens. Love proves love. And God proved he loved you with his word because he backed it up in action. So if you've got scripture in front of you, let's take a bit of time and look at the kind of things that God says about his word, his love letter to us. Now, your version may have slightly different words to what I'm about to read, but that's okay. We're going to start by looking at Psalm 119. It's roughly speaking in the middle of the Bible, at verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. I hope you've got that. If you're using your app, it's really quite easy. There are lots of different Bibles on the app, lots of different platforms you can use, you can tap it in and off you go. Someone once said to me, access to God's word determined by the speed of the internet connection wherever you are is still access to God's word. Psalm 119 verse 105, it says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When do we need a lamp or a light? When it's dark. And friends, when the darkness comes around us, when we don't see which way we should go, God's love letter is there to show us the way. It's his book of directions. And as I pondered that, it made me realise, boy, does this world need a lamp and a light at present. That reading from Timothy reminds us that Scripture makes you and I wise, discerning, we might say. And all Scripture is useful. Why? Because Paul is affirming that God is actively involved in writing Scripture, so actively involved that Paul says Scripture is God-breathed. How our world needs wisdom and discernment at the moment. Our reading this morning reminds us we have here a God-breathed love letter. Maybe our response to some of the rubbish we read of or hear of should not be, what does this scientist say, or what opinion do you hold? Maybe we should ask the question, a fundamental question first. What does the God-inspired, God-breathed word of God say? One of the reasons I beg you to join with us all and read Scripture in a year is that I believe through it, God will start a revolution here through giving us a revelation through Scripture, so that we will be able to discern what his good and perfect will is. In essence, so we can stand and say, thy kingdom come, Lord. If only we who claim we love the Lord, spent as much time each day reading Scripture as we do on social media platforms or on WhatsApping or tweaking or texting or whatever the latest pinging event is, our friends. If we spent as much time with Scripture as we do looking things up on YouTube, as much time with Scripture as we do paying attention to American preachers on TV, as much time on Scripture as we spend putting other things first, then we will be grounded in Scripture and we will know what God's good and perfect will is, rather than being blown about by the winds and the words of others trying to deceive. Because chapter 3 reminds us of that, doesn't it? That by being grounded in Scripture, we'll know what it is that God requires. I've heard over the course of lockdown so much stuff that when you hold it against the reality of Scripture is obvious nonsense. But you can't tell until you hold it against Scripture. I want to invite you along on the process that builds you up in wisdom and discernment. But this love letter is even more than that. When it turns to the prophet Isaiah, if you found the Psalms and you kind of go, I'm going to say right, but that doesn't make much sense, towards the back of the Scripture, you haven't got to go far through Proverbs and Songs of Songs, and then you get to Isaiah. A couple of other books in the way, like Ecclesiastes, sorry, I forgot them. If you find Isaiah and you go to chapter 40, verse 8, then you'll find what the prophet Isaiah writes about some of this. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says this. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. That's amazing. In this world of instantly disposable and immediately obsolete things, we need something that is a sure thing. Something on which we can pin our hopes, and on which we can count, and on which we can stand. That thing, friends, is the Word of God himself, because we can stand on the Word of God secure. It will never pass away. We need God's love letter. Why read this? Not for his benefit, but for yours. We need to stand on his word. And then if you've got that book of Isaiah and you go a bit further on to chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, you find another amazing truth. So we're just going to go a few pages along to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. When this prophet Isaiah writes this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and it did not return to me without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, this word, this love letter written to you, has power. Imagine if I'd have got one of Lorraine's letters that said, Paul, I can't meet you at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Can you pick me up at 8:30 instead? And I chose to ignore it. What would have happened the following day when I turned up at 9 o'clock? Maybe not too much if it was a bright sunny day, but imagine it was one of these bitter cold days, and I'm just picking up Lorraine from outside her house. In one sense, she would not be very pleased, would she? In another sense, that of course is a silly example. But God's instruction contained in Scripture is not silly at all. God's word accomplishes things. And the main thing it accomplishes is a relationship with you and I. Because God's word has efficacy. That means it will make a difference by doing what God intends it to do. Tomorrow we'll read, as we begin our reading of Scripture, how God made the heavens and the earth. But he will also send his word, Scripture tells us, to penetrate into our hearts and to build his kingdom here. Lord, build your kingdom here in my heart, in this place, I pray. Now, Jesus also assures us that even though the world around us is crumbling, and it sometimes seems that the entire world is coming to an end, the word of God will prevail. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. It's going into the New Testament now. If you don't know kind of where that is, it's about 2/3 of the way through in most Bibles. You'll find the book of Matthew. And we're going to turn to chapter 24 and to verse 35. So Matthew 24, verse 35 says this: Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Doesn't matter what we think is happening at this present point of time, no matter how much of a pandemic the world has or doesn't have, the reality is all things will pass away eventually, but the word of God will prevail. And therefore, as the writer in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, you need to go a bit further on. In fact, if you were in 2 Timothy with me at the beginning of this, you need to go a bit further than 2 Timothy, and you'll discover the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other words, God's word can help us understand our hearts and our inclinations. and our understanding. And the words of Scripture sometimes seem written just for me. Just for that moment when God somehow reaches down into all my unknowingness and becomes my understanding. Raises my heart, calls me on, prompts my spirit. All of that is what God's word does for me. But in one sense, even more importantly and most importantly, God's word points to the love of God. I want you to come back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The scriptures we started with. And 2 Timothy 3:15 says this. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. God's love letter has purpose. It's your salvation. I want to know more about the Lord that loves me that way. What about you? I urge you to come on this journey with me. Because this is a book which has come at a great cost. In order for you and I this morning, if you're holding your Bible, or you're holding your app, if you can hold an app, or you're searching on the internet, or however you are engaging with Scripture this morning, many before you and I have risked life and limb to make that happen. William Tyndale was the person who first translated the Bible into English. He was persecuted for it, and ultimately he was executed for it. But for him, it mattered. When you read of his life and what he says, you can see it mattered to him to be able to give you God's love letter for you to read. We're blessed, aren't we, beyond the wildest dreams of generations before, as to how we can engage in love in this world. And therefore, the question we're left with to finish with is, how do we engage with God's word? So here's what best current research says we should do. The number one recommendation to enable you to read with us Scripture in a year, to stay the course, is to do this. Be consistent. Do this. Read Scripture whenever you can give 10 to 15 minutes a day to the Lord. That's how much you're going to need to read the Bible in a year, about that sort of time. And many of us might say, I am so busy that... I want to encourage you to stop and to think about the fact you are not. You do have time. It's not a question of you having the time. It's a question of the when. How about in the morning with your get-up coffee, if you're me, that's not a bad thing at all. Or at noon with your lunch. Or maybe you need to do this in the evening, just before turning off and going to sleep. Maybe that's going to work best for you. I don't know you, but I do know that research says that if we are consistent, we are more likely to devote time consistently and to read this whole book together. Or maybe, just maybe, you're going to read it with someone, and that would be brilliant. Arrange a time to do that with them. And if you're thinking, I live on my own, well, modern research says the best way to read a Bible is to read it with others. Maybe you can arrange to ring up a friend and read it over the phone. What a wonderful way to read Scripture. I wish when I'd written those love letters to Lorraine, there were times, particularly as you heard, when we were praying for each other, I wish I could have picked the phone up on her and prayed for her and with her. And I'm sure that's true of her. So be consistent. Together if you can. And then find a Bible you can engage with. Now this sounds really obvious, but I'm going to give you a really, really, really simple example. I have at home the Bible written in ancient Greek. Okay? Quite frankly, if you put that in front of me and you said, now begin to read, I probably could manage some of 1 John, that is the first letter of John, and the beginning of John's Gospel. but not much more. It would be daft to imagine that I, with my lack of intellectual knowledge of Greek, could read Scripture in Greek. But it's equally as daft to ask you to engage in Scripture in a version that you haven't got a clue what it's saying to you. So I want to encourage you to find a version of Scripture that you can engage with. And if you don't know how that works or you're having problems, let me tell you, I and Richard are around this week to help you. Bring us. Engage with us. Let's work it out together. And lastly, we'll be reading a proper plan that whilst it starts at Genesis and it ends with Revelation, roughly speaking, as you go through the plan, it gives us different portions of Scripture to read and engage with. So it doesn't stick by starting at the beginning and going through to the end. Rather, it engages us in Scripture rather cleverly. And it has prompts and questions for you to engage with. If you need any clarification on any of that, or any prompts or questions, but the Lord speaks to you through them, again, let one of the two of us know. I am, you may or may not have gathered this, mega excited about the fact that we're going to be spending a year reading Scripture together, exploring together. And you could ask why. Because this is a time when I believe with all my heart that our amazing Lord will do something amazing here among us, because we're bending the knee, we're praying together, we're engaging with his love letter together. Now, I don't know what, and indeed, I'm not even sure of the time scale. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know how much change is involved. I don't know what the outcome will be, and I don't know how much it will cost. But I do know this. The answers to all of those don't knows can be found in the love letter given to us by the one who does. And that's the reason we're going to read the Bible in a year. So, strap yourself in. Come read the Bible in a year with me. And I pray to God that we will have the most amazing year of our lives together. I often think there should be one word that finishes the Bible, which isn't there. And of course, cannot and should not be added. But after a year when we've read this, I pray that we'll all be able to close our Bibles and simply say, wow. Let's pray. Father, at the beginning of this journey of the exploration of your love letter, I pray you would write it on our hearts, write it in our lives. Lord, we want to know the depth of your love for us. We want to experience the reality of doing this as church family, so that you can speak to us, Lord. Praise you, who are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sits on the throne, and yet the one who sent us your amazing love letter. May we, Lord, who love you a little, grow to love you more. Amen. Friends, it's good to be with you this morning, and good to end in worship. We're going to sing in a song that raises, for me, every time I sing this, just makes me raise my hands. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you for joining with us this morning. I'm going to read some scripture over you as a blessing. The word of God, the love letter of God. This is what I believe the Lord would say to you this morning, and indeed my prayer over you. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I pray for you, that whenever you speak, words may be given to you so that you will be fearless, make known the mystery of the gospel. And I pray that you may declare it fearlessly, as you should. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. And all the Lord's people said, Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.